Oh, I'm in a really bad mood now, I gotta say. Jay Rosen just told me something that's gonna put me in a funk for, like, permanently. Jay, what are you doing tonight?
I'm gonna go see the Facebook movie in a special sneak preview.
I'm walking out right now, okay?
You know why?
Why?
Because they want to build buzz. They know where it starts.
Jeez, why didn't they go to Jeff Jarvis? He's got the buzz machine, right? hey, you know one thing we didn't... Okay, so what do we got on our agenda? Wait a minute.
We have a very full agenda.
Wait a minute. When is this and where is it? I want to go crash.
It's 7:30 at the Clearview Cinema on 23rd Street.
Man, this is really going to upset me, this whole show, I got to say.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right, let's try again. I was in a really good mood.
You're in an irascible mood today.
I'm in a very bad mood now.
This is Rebooting the News number 64. There's something about 64 you wanted to mention.
Well, come on, man. You know what it is. All right, let's review this. There's 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128,
256. Do you see a pattern here?
512, 1024, 2048, 4096. You notice how I can rattle these numbers off?
Yeah.
Because I've been programming for like 35 years.
Uh-huh.
These are the numbers, man. These are the numbers we live and die by. They're called binary numbers, and they're perfectly expressed as powers
of two.
Of two.
Right.
And those are the word sizes inside of our computers.
So we have the force on our side in Rebooting the News number 64.
This is, well, it's going to fit into, the address will fit into a quarter of a word on a 16-bit computer.
All right.
No, wait, I got that wrong.
Yeah.
I'm way off. It's a, whatever, it's a nice round
number. We're geeking
number.
Out here.
Yeah, in a manner of speaking.
By the way, Dave, did you know that PressThink moved to WordPress?
I thought it was always on WordPress.
No, it was always on Movable Type.
Oh, is this like, is that why you got invited to the Facebook movie?
No, I'm just telling you.
I want you to know I got invited to the Facebook movie too, okay, except I got invited in California.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't feel like I should fly to California to go see
right.
a freaking movie.
Sure.
But they didn't figure it out that I'm actually here.
This is really getting under your skin, isn't it?
Well, yeah, Jay, as a matter of fact.
Okay. All right. I'll let you know how it is. You know,
I don't doubt you will. I already don't like it, okay? I'm not, you know what? Don't go see it, all right? I can tell you, it's not going to be any good. Of course it's going to be great because it's Aaron Sorkin. This
right.
is the guy who
West
did
Wing.
The West Wing.
Yeah.
I mean, God, how could it be bad?
A true neurotic, if ever there was one.
Yeah. Well, if the food shits, I mean, sorry. Anyway, yes. So what's on our agenda for today, Jay?
Well, a whole bunch of things, and we got to get moving here.
We
have to move at a fast clip.
Just one thing. I went to the doctor, and the doctor tells me I need to tense up more. I'm too relaxed.
Yeah. So. Well, we'll see if we can do something about that.
Yeah.
Well, since we last spoke on Rebooting the News, the Local East Village launched.
Yay.
You can see it at localeastvillage.com, and it is a nytimes.com site produced at NYU that's specifically about the East Village, and now it's rolling.
Mm-hmm.
So in that context, Dave relaunched something he actually built last year, which is an aggregator for East Village feeds called East-Village.org. And why don't you just explain what that is?
Well, it's just a river of news aggregator. It reads, I don't know, it's like maybe 50 different feeds of East Village blogs, you know, some news sites, you know. And every 10 minutes it reads these feeds, and if it finds anything new, it puts it in the top, and everything scrolls down. It was by request, basically. I had shut it off in May because nobody was using it. I don't think that people really understood what it was.
Well, you know why it's valuable now? Is we're trying to teach the students who are working for the East Village Local that they have to find out what other blogs and news sites have said first before they go reporting on something.
Yeah.
And it's really important to keep up with what the other sites are doing.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you can't possibly really blog about the East Village.
It's true in everything. I mean, if you're in software, you should know what your competition's doing.
Yeah.
And you should not only know what they've announced, but you should know what the rumors are, and you should be trying to read the tea leaves and always trying to figure this stuff out.
Also,
in this case, it's not exactly competitive. It's more of a community thing.
It's more of a, yeah, it's more of an ecological thing.
Yeah.
Also, we really need to help drive traffic to those sites once we build up
sure.
a user base of our own, and so it's important to know what they're putting out.
Well, they ought to know that you're going to do that so that they don't mind helping you build traffic right now, right? I mean, that's that. There's this reciprocity thing that's
yeah.
traditional in the web. It's always a good thing,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's why I appreciate actually that there's a link to the aggregator on the East Village site today. I was very pleased to see that.
Yeah.
And then I tweeted a link to the blog post about that. You know, because this is what we do. It's, I call it watching them watch me watch them. And by linking to it, I added another level to it. And if they retweet my link, then, then yet another level.
Mm-hmm.
That this was something we discovered about the blogosphere early on, that it was all just a hall of mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
It was just everybody talking mm-hmm. about themselves, talking about the other people that they were talking about themselves, and, you know, just keeps going. It's good. This is what humanity is. Welcome to the human race. This is what we do, right?
Yes.
But I really appreciate it. I got a panicked email from Brooke on, I think it was Saturday. You know, what happened? Why isn't this updating? And I was really surprised. Brooke is the director of the Institute
Journalism
here,
Institute.
Right, that
yes,
we both
Brooke
are
Program,
working
my
at, and where we're doing this podcast from. And Brooke is like an amazingly motivated person. I mean, she
yes.
has decided this thing is going to work,
right?
And she's really on it, and moving up that learning curve at an amazing clip. I mean, this is the opportunity. The door is now open. This is kind of why I should have been here, you know, and why it would have been better, I think, if we had been doing this all along. But you know, it's better late than never, right? It's always a good time to get started.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the site is rocking, and it's
and everybody can use it.
Gonna get
yeah.
It's
go gonna
it. Get used. Yep.
And if it doesn't, I'll shut it down again. That's all.
Meanwhile, moving along on our agenda.
Yeah.
You asked me something this week.
Marketplace. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You said something really provocative, like, "God, do I hate Marketplace?" Or
I
something
do.
Like. What did you say exactly? I forget.
I said it was the worst show on public radio.
There you go. That was. I don't think it is.
All right.
I think there are worse shows. Like
what I
like,
said.
Like Car Talk is worse.
Okay. And I said that
Prairie Home Companion. Come on, that's got to be worse.
I time my morning shower so I can miss Marketplace.
Oh, that was a good one. I
yeah.
love that.
Which is usually my signal to get into the shower is when I hear the opening.
So what
chord.
Happens? Does it like make your blood boil? Or
yeah, it yeah. actually gets me mad. Yeah.
Gets you mad. So yeah. why? What is it about it that gets
well,
you?
The occasion for writing about this was actually a really silly error that Marketplace made. David Frum, who is a regular commentator for them, somebody who wrote speeches for George Bush, but he's kind of a rebel within the conservative coalition, did one of his 1 or 2 minute commentaries, which was fine, but in the commentary he discussed the TARP program, which is the bank bailout program, as if it began with Obama and Timothy Geithner,
mm.
when, of course, it began under Bush mm. and Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson. And it's not that David Frum doesn't know when TARP began. He did, but it suited his rhetorical purposes to sort of start the story with Obama. And
in other words, to lie. Let's be really clear.
Well,
right?
I don't put it that way. It was an error, in my opinion.
But you said that he knew that it was wrong. You
yeah.
believe that he knew that it was wrong.
Oh, he definitely knows when TARP began.
Right,
yeah.
as I do, and it's not even my business to know, right?
Right.
So
anyway,
right.
somebody sent me this.
It wasn't a lie, Jake. Come on.
No, I wouldn't say that.
All right.
No.
All right.
You would say that, but it's okay.
Right.
So somebody sent me this in my email and said, you know, this is like really bad. You know, this should not happen. And in talking about this error on Twitter, which we later got Marketplace to correct, both at the website where this commentary was posted and on the air the next day.
And this is a show you don't like.
Yeah. and by pressuring them online in various forms. But in the course of that, I said, you know, this is so frustrating. This error is really dumb, and I really don't like Marketplace, and I time my shower to miss it. So then a whole bunch of people on Twitter asked me, well, what don't you like about it? So I wrote a small post at my Posterous blog explaining why I hate Marketplace so much. And this is why I hate it. It's supposed to be about business, but it can't decide if it's a show for people in business who need some inside or sophisticated business news, or it's for people who don't know anything about business and are actually just the receivers, the consumers, the victims of big business. And instead of deciding which it is, a show for business people or a show for consumers and everybody else, it decides to split the difference, and that's something that doesn't serve anybody. And so it tries to play at being an insider's business report for the on-the-go businessman who's, you know, going to be making deals today. And at the same time, it has another tone, which is, you don't know anything about business, and we're going to explain it to you. And, oh, by the way, Japan's Nikkei index fell 0.7 today, as if we know what that
this
is.
This seems to be a problem that NPR has in general. It's an identity issue. I don't know.
It is an identity issue.
Too many of their
issue.
Shows really have a clear, have a clear answer to that question. I don't know.
The other thing I hate about Marketplace is, and I only listen to the morning report, which is a few minutes, is it is unbelievably obsessed with being brief. Everything has to be brief. Everything has to be soundbitten. It's one quote and you're done. It's in 10 seconds and get out. And while I understand the reason for that, maturity tells me, and it should tell the producers of this show, that maybe everything can't be soundbitten. Maybe everything can't be truncated. You know, and this idea that we can just compress, and we won't actually lose anything is wrong, and they've lost me a long time ago. So anyway, that's why I hate Marketplace, and that's why I try to get into the shower as soon as
okay,
it comes
out. I'll accept it. All Everybody's right. allowed one free hate. That you don't have to, like, nobody gets to challenge you on it.
Well,
you
know? It does irritate me, but a lot of people like Marketplace.
Yeah, no, I don't particularly like it. Yeah. I have actually been interviewed. It's the only main NPR show that I ever actually have been interviewed
really?
For. Really? Yeah. Yeah, so, but that was a long time ago, and I don't think the guy is even on there anymore.
I refuse to be interviewed by them. They get very angry.
Well, I won't be interviewed by them in the future, just in honor of your boycott of them.
What to do about comments?
Yeah, interesting question. Thank you for asking. I've been thinking a lot about this one.
Comments.
Well, everybody loves to hate them, right? I mean,
they do.
It's a good topic for rebooting the news because there probably isn't a single person listening to the show that doesn't have an opinion about comments, right?
And, there's a lot of frustration about comments.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite bloggers out there, Paul Krugman, has written some of the most beautiful prose about comments and about how he absolutely refuses to sink to the level of the people that show up to comment on his blogs. But in doing so, he illustrates. I don't even bother reading them. He, as far as I'm concerned, he could turn the comments off. I'd never even go into them. I'm only there because I care what he thinks, not because I fully believe that he attracts a real cesspool of I don't think you can call it ideas. It's whatever it is, you know.
So to a lot of places.
Yeah.
TechCrunch comments are pretty bad.
Well, yeah, and mine, I think, too, not in total, because I've actually done some things to help to clean it up. But if people can't stay on topic, for example, I delete their comments. And I'm pretty specific about what the topic is, you know. So many of the commenters have just sort of standard spiels that they will recite as soon as they see the keyword. They'll give you the whole story about why they hate this. Or they're kind of like you with Marketplace. If I happen to mention Marketplace in a blog post, you probably would be tempted to tell me a story about why you hate it, right? But you probably wouldn't even post that. But there are these people who...
That's called a signal reaction.
Right. And they're
you
do
get the signal, you give the reaction.
And because of that, because this is so prevalent, that it basically crowds out anybody who might have an original thought, because like me and Krugman, you know, I don't even bother looking at the comments because I kind of know what I'm going to see in advance.
Well, everyone knows comments suck. That can't
right.
be your point.
But no, that isn't my point at all. And thanks for moving me along on that one. No, my point is that we sort of gave up on any sort of innovation or creativity. We settled on one model for comments and never tried any others.
What's the one model?
Well, the one model is free for all. Everybody, you know, gets to comment, and that's you know the model. I don't have to explain. Let me give you an alternative. One alternative, okay? Where you have like a chorus. You talked about David Frum, for example, as being a regular on Marketplace. Let's say I had five people who were regulars on Scripting News. And these are people that I know personally, and I enjoy debating with them. You know, they don't agree with me on everything. Some of them don't agree with me on anything, but I still like them as people, and I respect them, and you know, and see the value in an alternative point of view. And other people I consider experts on this or that, or like a guest on the show, I might bring in somebody just for one post.
So they're your chorus.
Right. I've got a chorus. And what for the chorus, I would say, here's the right margin of my blog. You can always put something there. You're free to do that anytime you want. Okay? And I'm not going to say one thing one way or the other. If I get really tired, if you start becoming a problem for me, I will, you know, fine. We'll just go part ways. But as long as there's, you know, as long as... you know, I wouldn't expect I'd have to do that for the kind of people. You know, I would pick people that, for example, who I know are good contributors in my comments, even though it can often be, they are often drowned out by people who are very dogmatic and have, you know, very narrow points of view. And then say, okay, no more comments. I'm not going to have the normal kinds of comments here. But what we want from comments... You know, you take a step back and say, what is it that we wanted from comments in the first place?
Right.
Do we really need to give people a place to speak their mind? No, because there are a million places to speak your mind. You can always create a new blog on WordPress.com or Blogger.com or Tumblr.com.
Right.
There are a million different places you can create a place to be heard, to speak. You know, what you're giving, what that space that you've got there is... a space that's in relation to some other thing.
Right.
It's a reaction or a response to that.
So what you might say, Dave, is that what you want is a dialogic element.
Right, a dialogue, to be right. I want to make sure that you're giving me something that's responsive to what I said. You know, that it's respectful in the sense that you're actually responding to what I said.
Instead of a signal reaction.
Instead of giving me a speech, which, you know, I can get anywhere by going to read your blog. Why are you posting the speech online? Oh, because you think somebody might actually read it here because I've got some flow and you want... But, of course, because of that, nobody ever reads it because, you know, whatever. So that's... But that's just one. There was another one that was pioneered at Berkman Center, where I used to be a fellow... called H2O, stood for Harvard 2.0, and it was what they called a rotisserie, and
rotisserie comment system.
Yeah, and so what that means is basically that some moderator. I think this idea probably came from Charlie Nesson, who is a great moderator. Charlie is one of the, you know, he has this sort of. He lives for the conversation. He, you know, I admire him for that. And he's very good at bringing out people's opinions. And so he asks a provocative question, right? And then he asks people to take the pro and the con. And then they write their things, and nobody sees what anybody else has written until the moment at which they're flipped over and they're revealed, okay? Then he comes up with some other formula, like everybody that took the pro now has to take the con, okay? And we're going to do it again. And now you all have to write. But now you can write relative to anything that you see there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And another 24 hours goes, and you write your next round, and nobody ever saw what each other wrote, so there's limited relativity there, okay?
Right.
That's the problem in a lot of the discourse on the Internet. It's all relative. You know, what you really want is I want some fresh ideas, you know. I want a fresh point of view. I don't want you to tell me I'm an idiot. I'm not an idiot. And even if I am, I'm not going to respond very well to you saying that to me. Certainly not in my own space. Don't make it relative. But say something that's interesting in its own right, mm-hmm. you know. So that was an interesting way to approach it. You know, it may or may not work in the wild. But what my point is this, the bigger point is, we settled on this one model, the thread, you know, and we came away with this conclusion that blogs are conversations and that this is the only kind of conversation that you can have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not the only kind of conversation you can have, and blogs don't have to be conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our podcast here is a conversation too, right?
Right.
But sometimes it's more of a conversation, other times it's less, right? And you can have the same thing on a blog. Right. So that was my point, is that my point is, let's be creative about this. Let's not give up. We haven't finished this one yet. In fact, I think we've barely begun.
Yeah, and maybe one day we'll look at this form of an empty box that literally anyone can come in at any time and say anything to anyone, which is what a standard comment system is at a blog, right? As a bizarre hope.
Pretty nutty, yeah.
It's a pretty strange idea.
That you would ever believe that could work.
Yeah.
I'll give you another example. I get pointed to by Gruber, the Daring Fireball blog, a very high flow blog.
Yep, I know it.
Frequented by Mac Zealots. I mean, because he's, you know,
yeah.
He's a Mac Zealot himself, and he's fine. You know, Gruber does not allow comments, though. No comments on his blog.
Right.
So when he points to you, which I get pointers from time to time, and you do have comments, and you've said something that is going to inflame Mac people, finally, here's their chance to show up.
Sure.
And poof, you get a wave of crap, of shit thrown into your space. And you know, oftentimes I know that I've been pointed to by Gruber simply because
yes.
of that. And I almost always turn the comments off on those posts.
A Gruber latch.
Yeah.
Lanch. All right,
anyway,
to be continued,
Let's continue it.
Let's move on to this series, very interesting series you've been doing at Scripting News called Rebooting RSS.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's reboot RSS.
Why are you writing this?
Well, it's a good question. Well, because these are what I'm talking about are things that have been long-standing problems with RSS. RSS was sort of frozen before it was finished, in a way. It had to be frozen because it was getting too contentious, and, you know, aside from that, we couldn't get agreement on any of the things that needed to be. It wasn't even in the ballpark of getting agreement on these things. For example, the subscription model in RSS is completely awful. I mean, the way you go from forming the idea of I'm reading something to I want to subscribe to this, you know, that's the thought. I want to subscribe to this. The actual implementation of that idea is so prohibitively complicated that mm-hmm. that's where most people get kicked out of RSS.
Yeah.
They just don't want to do it.
I can't figure out how to subscribe.
Right. And yeah. why should you be able to? Because right. it's completely foobar. You know, it's like, right. it's not a very nice way. Now, that's why Twitter has been so successful and why Facebook's been so successful, too.
Click follow.
Right. Because they're a closed system and they completely control the user experience.
Right.
And, right, that's ultimately what you want, is you want to see a button that says, I want to follow this thing, whatever mm-hmm. that is, click it, and it happened, and that's the end of that.
Right.
You don't have to do anything else. And it is technically possible to do that with RSS. It is possible to do it. The problem is that it requires cooperation mm-hmm. to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of cooperation the tech industry is famous for not doing, which
right.
means I'm going to cede control to somebody else. Everybody wants to be the place where everybody cedes control to, and nobody wants to do any ceding of control, okay? Ceding, C-E-D-E, of...
tragedy,
you know, not
of the
giving,
commons.
Right. And so why now? So I want to solve this problem. So why? And, you know, there have been opportunities to solve this, like with when Microsoft came into RSS, they, you know, non-disclosed me before they did it, months before they came out with it. And I thought they wanted to talk about, you know, what could we do to help RSS? It didn't turn out that's what they wanted at all. But at that moment, they could have been the first ones to have, you know, sort of deferred to somebody else to manage the subscriptions. You know, had they done that, it might have started a little bit of uptake on this idea, but they didn't want to do it. They just wanted me to say, oh, Microsoft's wonderful.
Okay, which so I wouldn't it was frozen do. Before it was
right,
finished.
Right.
And now?
So now, why now? Because, well, everybody says, and I hate to say these words, okay, but you hear it all the time. RSS is dead, right? Well, okay, that's bad news. But in some ways, it's actually good news, okay? It's good news that, first of all, it's not true. It's how could something that was never alive be dead? You know, it's what does it mean? Please explain to me. I don't know. But, you know, what they mean is, I think, that Blog Lines is dead and people aren't buying the aggregators and Google Reader's growth is stalled and Twitter is on the ascendance.
Yeah,
I think that's what they really mean.
That's what they mean. And the really successor system is
right.
And
I love Twitter. I think Twitter is fantastic, and I even know why Twitter is fantastic. And I'm saying, well, since RSS is you know what, then there can't be anybody to object, right? Who could object? There isn't anybody there. So maybe now's the time to do the new version, the one that doesn't have this problem. And that as long as, and so it turns out technically it's not a very hard thing to do. It is politically and financially a difficult thing to do. What we need is, we need to have a single entity that's responsible for managing subscriptions for people who don't want to operate their own server, which is 99.99999%.
What kind of entity would this be?
A foundation.
What kind of foundation? Have one in mind?
A nonprofit. Something that's very innocuous and plain vanilla that nobody could possibly feel threatened by.
Mm.
It just has to be a public service utility sort of thing. With absolutely
like the Red Cross or?
Yeah, no ego to it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. A very simple charter, never goes outside that charter, never does anything more than just simply give people a place where the subscription URL can point to and then accumulate for each user a subscription list and make that available to any service that the user wants to make it available to. That way, Google Reader can have the subscriptions and not just Google Reader, but anything else that might come along. And the idea being that with this problem taken out of the way, with subscription being really easy, that there might be a new market that develops. Because this is the stifling thing that kills any possibility of new things coming along.
Okay, so in this system, if I went to paidcontent.org and I realized I get a lot of news from paid content,
right,
or I'd like to subscribe, what would be different?
It would be a button that says subscribe.
Yeah.
You click the button and you subscribe.
Okay.
That's it. That's all there is to it. You know, it requires a little bit of setup at the beginning, so you have to create an account, right? But that's the only overhead there is to it, you know. And then once you've logged into that the foundation server, then the idea is that everybody points to it. Now that's a hard sell too, but you can start by, you know, appealing to various people that have large installed bases that have, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later with WordPress. They're a pretty good candidate for asking to do this, you know, support this, and the Tumblr guys, and you know, at some point you ask the publishers, you know, hey, would you like to make this problem simple? And the real advantage here, the ultimate advantage, is that anything, if you ever get a decentralized Twitter-like system, it's going to have this.
Yeah.
There's no way around this. People have tried forever to try to figure out how to make a decentralized system without any centralization, and you can't really do it. There has to be a little bit. You want the smallest amount possible. Now, there's another set of problems, too, that you might as well tackle at the same point, is that, you know, on Twitter, you're jrosen_NYU, and I'm Dave Weiner. On Google, I'm dave.weiner. On Apple, for some reason, I'm scripting news because I happened to type that in when they asked for an ID, and it was a mistake. I want in the RSS network to be known by a similar short name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right now, I'm known by http://scripting.com/rss.xml, which is really unfortunate because it doesn't really roll off the tongue and it's not very memorable. It, however, does have one huge advantage over the others, is that it
is... It's a unique address.
It's, well, no, Dave Weiner is a unique address, too, on Twitter. Mm-hmm. They're all unique addresses. It's loosely coupled. It's decentralized. Mm-hmm. You're not bound into anybody's server. Mm-hmm. Yours could be at jresme.com. Right. Yours could be at nyu.edu. It could be anywhere. It doesn't have to be on anybody's server.
Right.
So the question is, can you... And now, we happen to be lucky that there is already a foundation there that is already established and is already set up and has been operating for 40 years, more or less, and that's called ICANN, and we're talking about the domain name system.
Right.
And it's perfectly suited for this. It's absolutely ideal. So there's nothing that needs to be invented there. And I know some people in the technology world don't think it's easy enough, but it can be made very, very easy.
So what kind of response have you gotten to your series?
Not a whole lot of response. I think mostly it's been very quiet. I think that the people who are involved in I know that the people who are involved in RSS, and there still are many of them, I know that they're all reading it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I know that for the most part they're supportive. I know that if anybody really objects to it, they haven't said it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there haven't been any flames. There have been the usual sort of, you know, arguments about, well, you don't need to do this because, and a lot of them are very condescending and arrogant and wrong. I mean, these things are so well understood at this point. You know, RSS is, you know, it was started in 1997, right? So we're now, what, 13 years into it? These problems are not new.
Right.
The problems that it has, if there were other solutions to them, they would have made themselves apparent by now. This is so old, this is so well understood that, you know, it's not wrong. It's actually, you know, and if there is going to be a decentralized system, it's going to look like this. It may not be RSS that does it. I don't, you know, it would probably be wrong not to use RSS because it's already so out there. And so, you know, all right, but if it's not RSS, it's going to be something that's exactly like it.
Well, this theme of decentralization actually carries through to our next couple of items here.
Sure. It's a big one, for sure.
Yeah. First of all, new Twitter rolled out.
Yeah. What do you think?
It's a new interface. You have it. I have it. Not everybody on Twitter does have it.
Yeah, but since you have it, almost everybody has it. That's my getting even for Facebook movie thing.
I'll take
sorry.
That
didn't
move
come
along.
Out very nice. I apologize. would you accept my apology?
I really don't invest any ego in when I get these features. I just wait for them to show up.
You mean like the Facebook movie, right?
Yeah, no big deal. So, my first impression from it was, well, I'm not somebody who likes chains all that much, but my first impression was that what I say and what the people I follow say has been de-emphasized, and this other stuff has been given more space.
Really?
Yeah. That was
Why
my
do you
first
say
impression.
That? I'm going to go look at the screen right now.
Because
do you have it up right now? Could you look at it?
And I do.
Tell me why you feel that way. What is it?
Well, I use Twitter.com web interface. Not lots of people do. But
I do. Yeah. Absolutely. I don't use anything else.
And what had been one column has been split into two columns.
True. That's very true.
And they are of equal weight as far as the page goes.
Well, if you add up the right side is the same weight as the left side. The left side is what everybody else is saying. The right side is all this other stuff, whatever that is. Right.
So the other stuff has come up in importance because
it's
now 50% of my screen.
Yeah.
And the feed and the news feed and the timeline has been subtly de-emphasized.
Not so subtly, actually.
Yeah, not so subtly. That was my main impression. I'm still getting used to it.
Now, you said there was something you absolutely couldn't find, right?
Yeah.
What was that?
Well, if I try to refresh my timeline,
right,
and I click on the Twitter icon with the bird, it doesn't work. If
really?
I click on home, it doesn't work.
What doesn't work?
Refreshing my timeline.
It doesn't refresh? It
no.
It used to?
It used to, but doesn't anymore.
You're shitting me. No kidding. Wow.
And if you click on home, it doesn't refresh your timeline.
It doesn't.
And if you click on timeline, it doesn't refresh your timeline. Now, that would seem to be a large bug.
It's a bug. Yeah. I think it's a bug. Unless they... I mean, it's hard to imagine that made it through testing without showing up on a list.
Me too.
Somewhere.
It's hard to me to imagine. And I wrote about this on Twitter, and a bunch of people say to me, refresh your browser. Why should the service have to do something your browser already does?
Yeah,
right.
Those are the idiots. Sorry.
And that does work if I press the refresh.
Right, but why should you have to? Yeah. It was a nice convenience that you didn't have to do that, right?
Timeline doesn't refresh my timeline. Sorry, that doesn't compute for me.
10 points off right there. You're a professor. What do they go from A to a B there? Is that like a full grade loss
right,
there?
Well, check mark.
It's a check mark.
Yeah.
Okay. It's an X, actually, or it's a -5 or something.
And my lists are now not easily displayed for me. I got to press a button and find them. And I use my lists a lot. A lot of people don't use lists, but I do.
But you're a big list guy, right?
Yeah. And my lists have subscribers, by the way.
There you go.
Yeah, people follow them. So, to me, not entirely successful. I understand why they did it, to keep
up. Well, the one thing you didn't say, why they did it.
Well, you say it.
Ads. That right margin is going to be where the ads go, for sure.
Well, obviously. Yeah. And one thing I noticed in explaining Twitter that I thought was really weird is this idea that Twitter is a media company or an attention company.
The attention company thing is coming through loud and
loud and clear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of little subtle things in there that users don't pick up on that developers saw immediately in this one. Like, for example, okay, so they have the nice right margin thing where if you click on a tweet that has a picture in it, right?
Yeah.
Then it shows you the picture in the right margin.
Right.
But only if the picture comes from one of their media partners, one of their 16 media partners, which is a very, that's a fork in the road right there, okay? Didn't it used to be that you had to be a media partner to get your content displayed on Twitter? There was never a distinction between being a media partner and not being a media partner.
Right.
Which means that my pictures, the ones that I upload to my own server and come up with my own URL shortener, and they're right, that I haven't trusted anybody else with, those don't get the nice treatment.
Right.
Right?
Because you're not a partner.
I'm not a partner. Right. And this feels really nasty. Because
I don't like it either.
You don't want to know why I don't like it? Okay, I have an extra reason. I believe I was the first one to put Flow Pictures through Twitter. I was there a full 2 years, maybe even 3 years before Flickr was there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this is the thanks I get? I mean, for crying out loud. I helped push these ideas so that other people would do them. And now mine isn't good enough for them anymore. You know? The other thing that's coming, Jay, you watch this. Now, I'm watching your face as I tell you this one, okay? Because you know you love your JR.ly
thing,
sure
right? I sure
do. Yeah, well, so kiss that one goodbye real soon.
Oh, why?
Oh, not yet, but real soon.
They're going to tell me which ones I have to use?
No, you're going to have to use their URL shortener. They're going to undo that little trick that we did there.
How?
They are going to go to the, I don't know this for a fact, but I don't think they're going to here's another interesting, okay, this is how I know it, okay?
Bit.ly is getting long, by the way.
Long?
The number of digits it's taking.
Oh, well, Bit.ly's going away.
Yeah.
This is the end of Bit.ly now, okay? That's coming real soon.
Good.
As far as their link to Twitter. I mean, they may have other plans, but this isn't going to be their shtick very much longer. Okay, check this out, Jay, all right? So let's say I put a picture up on Flickr, okay?
Yeah.
Right? And so if I post a tweet that has the link from Flickr in it, get the beautiful treatment, right?
Right.
If I run it through my version, my r2.ly, that's the same thing as your jr.ly, right?
Yeah.
No nice treatment.
Yeah.
It looks at the link and it says, no, this isn't from Flickr.
Right.
So therefore, I'm not going to get
it. So it's sort of undoing their own net neutrality.
Oh, they don't have that.
Right.
Their net neutrality is going out the window, okay? The reason why they want you to use their URL shortener is because they want to monitor your clicks. And if I use mine, no matter how few people, I mean, they didn't put me on the suggested user list, so I've got 30,000, 32,000 followers, which is minuscule. They're not even willing to let me figure out how many of those people like my stuff. I have to get the data from them. By the way, they haven't offered to share the data with me.
Right.
Okay? So, I mean, that's assuming at some point they do, which I wouldn't hold my breath because I'm not a media
that's
partner.
That's not going to happen.
And Jay,
right.
By the way, FYI, you're not,
I'm
a,
not
media
a media
partner,
partner. No,
either.
I'm just a user.
You do get to go to the Facebook movie, but you don't get to be a media partner. This is going to be – now, I went out to dinner with Andrew Barron, a really good friend of mine who runs Rockabim, last night. Last night I made a prediction. It just came out of the blue, but I really like this prediction because it sort of captures the spirit of where I think we're headed with Twitter, is that how much you want to bet that sometime not too far in the future, their tweets won't have the 140-character limit while ours do.
Who's they?
Twitter.
What do you mean their tweets?
The ones that they put in your stream. Which they haven't done yet, by the way, but you know they're doing that. That's coming. All of this stuff is coming.
Well,
this is what you're seeing here. This little redesign here, which they promoted as being the greatest thing for users, is actually all about monetization.
Yeah.
This is their monetization.
I could see them
screen.
Positioning themselves. Yeah.
Everything you see here is about that.
But this is how the Alex Payne post begins to gain.
Oh, you like the Alex Payne post?
I did. I thought it was very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it too.
So.
Finally, we find out who at Twitter wanted to be decentralized.
Right. So this is the part I wanted to read. Yeah. Alex Payne's the former Twitter developer who actually did run the developer's platform for a while.
Yeah,
the API. And he no longer works there. And he posted what he said was going to be his last message about Twitter.
Famous last words.
Right.
Yeah, I never say that.
So here's what he writes. He says, a large part of the reason I left Twitter was a fundamental philosophical difference that I couldn't reconcile either for myself or the company. I believe that Twitter as a medium is and should be distinct from Twitter as a business. And then he goes on to say that when other people made this point, he was at first really annoyed, and he just assumed that they were these crazy lunatic fringe that always exist in the technology community. He calls them the standardistas, the neckbeards, the open sorcerers, the people who believe that all things must be free and open regardless of context. And then I came to the same conclusion, he says, on a different path, that these two things have to be split. I thought that was totally fascinating, that part right there.
Yeah, interesting.
And he...
Now you, at least you know the words they use to dismiss you.
Oh, man.
You got this.
This is the church of the savvy tech version.
So, what have I been telling you?
Somebody
finally gave you the Rosetta Stone. There it is.
It
came out from inside.
There's so much in these terms. Listen to these terms again. The standardistas, the neckbeards, the open sorcerers. I love this shit. And, you know, and what's so great about them is that there are these distancing terms, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where the person inside who knows the real score,
right.
You know, who has to make the real decisions,
right.
Looks upon these outsiders as these crazy, unreasonable,
Now I
you
can
know,
close a loop for you. This is why I don't like two terms, okay? Because of where they come from, they're in the same room as those words are, which is the long tail. Right?
And the crowd.
And the crowdsourcing. Right? Because the long tail is telling you where, well, you know, you have to ask the question. You're not in the long tail, right? The guy who's talking. You're in the head. You aren't in the tail. Which, by the way, what else is
the big head and the long tail.
Well, the smaller, the head's small, right?
That's pinhead.
Right, yeah. And what else is in the tail, by the way? I'm not going to say. And the crowdsourcing, obviously, if you're not in the crowd, you're not in the crowd, of course, because you're the savvy, you're a church, you're the priest.
Well, anyway, he came to the conclusion that has been aired on this show many times, that the decentralized, loosely coupled network has to emerge from the company, which has got other ideas and other plans.
I think so. I think that would be that's what I've been waiting for. We have talked about this one, too. That's why I liked what Matt Mullenweg did with WordPress, the trademark.
I am so in awe of that.
Right, because
that
well,
so
what he
smart.
Did was what Alex was saying he wished Twitter, the corporation, had been willing to do, which is at their moment of power that, you know, give up a large part of it, right, to make sure that you have a very clean and simple future, you know, and... I think the rewards are going to be enormous for Matt. I think Matt believes they're going to be enormous too. But you know what? The Evan Williamses of the world and the Dick Costolos, and as much as I like Fred Wilson and Bijan, those guys too, they don't have that in their DNA. They're not going to sit down at a board meeting and say, this is now time for us to divest of the lock-in. We have to give that up so that we can try to do this a different way. Okay?
People come back to places that send them away.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the post you wrote about it. I thought it was such a brilliant line.
Well, that's the web. People
come back to places that send them away.
Right. I take back what I said about Fred and Bijan. I think that actually, if the management had said we want to do this, that they probably would have gone along with it. Mm-hmm. That if they were on Matt's board, they probably would have done it. Okay. Mm-hmm. But what you need is a visionary leader with real serious cojones. They've got to really want to win on a very, we're going to go a little over, okay, Adrian. They've really got to want to win on that kind of basis, you know, mm-hmm. on a fair and, you know, whatever basis. So,
giving away the trademark to WordPress to a foundation and the name WordPress to a foundation is just a fascinating thing. When I read Matt's post about it, I said, wow, here's a young man who really has an inner-directed sense of what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we did something similar to that at Userland. I mean, we took we had the RSS 2.0 spec, and we gave that to Berkman Center, Harvard University, and with the condition that they had to relicense it under the Creative Commons, that we didn't want to control this. There were all these people. I thought they were being a little bit dramatic and, you know, theatrical, because they were coming from very large companies usually, talking about how ridiculous it was that this huge behemoth Userland software controlled RSS. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all right, you got a point, right? Mm-hmm. So let's divest. You know, it ultimately, if you want to win, if you want to have a healthy business going forward, you have to do this. Mm-hmm. You have to do the divesting. What Twitter is doing isn't going to work.
What Alex Payne was saying.
It isn't going to work, right? Yeah. But you'll have to wait 5 or 10 years to see that it didn't work, okay? Mm-hmm. Maybe less. Maybe not as much as 5 or 10 years. But it won't work. Ultimately, you monetize the thing and you destroy it. You squeeze too much of it, you know, out of it, and you just create opportunities for the thing you didn't do.
Well, speaking of squeezing too much, how about Apple wanting 30% of subscription revenue, 40% of ad revenue, and take their sweet time approving your app and give you all sorts of arbitrary conditions? That's what the publishing industry, the newspaper industry, is waking up to now for the iPad.
That's another
reason. Maybe we'll approve it in a few weeks. Maybe we'll tell you that since you use the word Huskies in your iPhone app for University of Wisconsin, Washington football scores, because you called the team that what it's actually called, you're actually violating NCAA copyright and other nonsense like this, right? Maybe we'll just make you explain, you know, all these things that should be things you already know, and 3 weeks later you still won't have your app out even though the freaking football season's already starting.
Yeah. Well, you know what then? Then the newspaper industry has to stop revolving around Google and Facebook and Twitter, and they have to start working with us who are outside, who are trying to build something that is not locked in and owned by these guys. You can't have it both ways. You can't hit this wall and yet not be willing to make the investment in the open system. That is immaturity, childishness on a huge scale, and they're not there.
They are not there.
They totally deserve that, and they totally should pay attention to that, because that's their future. Because this is just the beginning. Uh-huh. Because, as you know, I thought you were going to go in a different direction here, because we heard this last week, is that Apple clearly is floating their newspaper plan amongst some of the newspapers now, because the leaks are happening.
Yeah.
You're starting to hear about
that. That's what I said, 30%. Subscription revenue?
No, you're talking about the apps.
Yeah.
You're not talking about... No. This is different.
What?
A distribution system for news, not for apps. Okay, let's pick this up next week.
Okay.
Yeah. We got to talk about this one.
All right.
This is right in the middle of where we're at. But
great show.
Yeah, great show. Thanks,
see you next week.
Okay, thanks, Adrian.
Bye.
Bye.